The shiur's Le'ilu Nishmas Chaya Furma. It's Chaya Meir. So I was thinking about what exactly to talk about today. So we always try, when you have a special shiur, connect it somehow, somewhere to Inyana Diyoma. So the question is, what exactly is it? It's hard to talk about Purim anymore. You know, Purim is beautiful Yantar, but it's already a little bit of Lo'yavor Ksiv. You're not supposed to talk too much past Purim. So on the other hand, I was thinking, well, it's already within Shloshim Yom Kerem Achag. So we could start talking about Pesach, but I was afraid if I start talking about Pesach, so some of your wives may get the same idea that my wife has, that she said, what a great day to start cleaning up for Pesach today. So I don't want to get anybody nervous, so we'll pass on that also. So what is there to talk about? So maybe we could talk about the halachic significance of the 16th day of Adar. So the problem is there isn't that much significance, but maybe there is. Well, we're not going to talk about that, but I'll tell you what the potential significance was. There is the way a story goes, there was a certain shul where somebody walks in on the 11th day of Adar, and they finish Ben Esrei, and they skip Tachlin, and that's not Tachlin today. So my high, why is it Tachlin? Because the first Mishnah in Megillah says, the Megillah Nikrei is Beit Aleph, Beit Beis, Beit Gimel, that if you're from the Bnei Kfarim, if you're from the villages, so you can technically read the Megillah already early, by the 11th day of Adar. So they said, that's already a Shtichel Simcha, so there's no Tachlin today. So the person thought that was a very, very strange minhag. You never heard of it, but you know, we've seen some strange minhagim in Hilchos Tachanun. Okay, good. So it comes back the next day, it's the 12th day. So again, obviously, also there's not going to be Tachanun because Lishitasim comes back, but Tainus says, the Vaita is not Tachanun. Okay, Purim, I understand, is not Tachanun. The 15th, also I understand, is not Tachanun. Comes back to Shul the 16th day of Adar, and they're still not saying Tachanun. So he says, what's going on? So he says, the first sugya in the Beis Maseches Megillah says that you read the Megillah Bismaneim, Makayvis Yimeah Purim El Bismaneim. That's the source that sometimes you can lay in the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, 13th. You see the Chazal has to do a lot of days. So the Gemara asks the Kasha, the Emashits are, maybe you can read the Megillah on the 16th also. So the Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. That's already too late. So the guy said, the reason why we don't say Tachlin is because it's the 16th of Adar. So the guy says, you are not. He said, it says in the Gemara that that's not true. So the person says, well, Hilchos Tachlin, even a Havamin is good enough. So he says, but you don't say Tachlin the 16th of Adar. So I figured after that, there's mamish nothing to talk about anymore. But we'll try to talk about a little bit more in Yana D'Yayma in terms of Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah is Tachlin around the corner. So we'll just talk a little bit about it. I'll share with you the following story that happened. Last week I spoke in Yeshiva a little bit about it. I mentioned the other day we had a special Shia for Ksiva Sefer Torah in Yeshiva. So I told them about a mic that you and I, Yeshiva, you have to keep the Messiah for the boys. Most of the boys I was talking to weren't even alive when the story happened. The story happened somewhere around 25, 30 years ago or so. I was still a Bachar. I remember exactly when, I don't remember the year that happened, but I remember I was definitely still a Bachar in Yeshiva. It was Parshas Parah. And I know maybe Rabbi Shapiro, man, I may have been around, and also I look at some of the people who may have been in yeshiva those days. So it was Parshas Parah, Shabbos morning, and we're in the middle of laning Parshas Parah, and all of a sudden the Bakari found a mistake in the Sefer Torah, in the middle of Parshas Parah. So there was a whole deal on what to do. My son was mamish posel. So they put away the Sefer Torah, and they took out another Sefer Torah. So what do you do at that point? So there was a whole to do. Rabbi Shechter wasn't in the Beis Medrash at that time. So there was a whole sichsuch broke out in the Beis Medrash. What should we do? Because the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you find a mistake in the middle of a Sefer Torah, so you put it away, and then you continue from where you left off, you don't have to read over again. So that's what some of the people in the Beis Medrash says, that you just continue. We left in the middle of the Parsha. It's not all, you just continue from that point. So other people in the Beis Medrash said, no, that din doesn't apply to Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah is different. You have to go back all the way to the beginning. So I remember some of the Bali Dover, Rabbi Simon was there, Rabbi Blavsky was there, a few of the you know, senior Bachram at the time were dragging around and screaming, Rabbi Harari, everyone had what to say, what we should do. So it was machlekes, okay? It was big machlekes. So what was the issue exactly? What was the Nekudas of machlekes? We'll try to explain a little bit what exactly the Nekudas of machlekes was. So yes, it's true that there is a din in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah that if you find a psul in the Sefer Torah, so you put the Sefer Torah away and you take out another one, but the din is that you start laning from where you left off. You don't go back to the beginning of the parasha. The question is, why not? If the Sefer Torah is posul, then you want Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah, then you should have to start again. So this psach is based on the Rebbe of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch's Rebbe was Yaakov Beirav. He was a very, very interesting person, not just because he was the Rebbe Muvuk of the Shulchan Aruch, so he must have known how to learn pretty well, but also he was the one who got this grandiose idea that we're going to reinstitute Smicha, and he starts, he based on the Rambam, that if you get all the Chachamim together in Eretz Yisrael, so you can actually kickstart, you could jumpstart the Smicha process again. So they all gathered his Tamidim together, and they declared him to be the head of the Sanhedrin, and then he gave Smicha to all of his Tamidim. So that lasted for about 20 years or so, because all the other Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael didn't buy into this. So it was a big hot topic. It started in the 1500s. So Rabbi Yaakov Bei Rav came up with the following psak. He said that even though you're not allowed to lane from Apostle Sefer Torah, but if you lane from Apostle Sefer Torah, whatever you lane, b'diyem and yoytzei. Why is that? Because the Rambam writes in the Tshuva that the standards of kashrus for Sefer Torah are only true for the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. When you write a Sefer Torah, so you have to have a kosher Sefer Torah. Every letter, everything has to be proper. Like tefillin and mezuzahs have to be 100% kosher. But for the purposes of Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah is only a mitzvah midrabbanan anyway. So the din derabbanan of Kriyas HaTorah, Chazal instituted, as long as the Sefer Torah looks like a Sefer Torah, it's got cloth, it's got deal, it's got basically all the words there, give or take a couple of words here and there. If it's missing a couple of letters, a couple of words here and there, but it still resembles a Sefer Torah, so then that's good enough for the mitzvah derabbanan. It's called Kriyas HaTorah. So comes the Bari Berav and says, we don't really follow that Shubhas HaRambam. The Rambam himself in Mishnah Torah contradicts that, but there was some Rishonim who followed it. So the Bari Berav came up with the following compromise. He said that lichat chila to take out Apostle Sefer Torah, we're not going to do. If we're in the middle of laning and we find the psul, we're going to put the Sefer Torah away. We're not going to continue. We'll take out another one. But that which we laned already, it's such a hassle, a tichat the tzibur, to go schlep everybody to start again. You imagine in the last aliyah of Pashas of Yaakov Pakudei, and you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah. You tell everyone to come to start again from Vayakov. It's going to be such a tichat the tzibur. So Mokam, such a tichat. So we rely b'diyevet on the view of the Tshuva Saram. That's what it says in the Mari Beirav. And his Talmud Muvok, the Shulchanach, quotes it lahalocha. So that's the way most of us follow. Most shuls follow that practice, that if and when they find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, they put it away, they take out another one, but they don't start from the beginning of the parasha. Mishnah Berurah writes that if there's enough room in the parasha to make seven aliyahs, you know, out of whatever's left, so then you should try to do that if you can. Unless that's also a big tichat tzibur. Those shuls that make osafas anyway, so you added one or two more aliyahs, what's the big deal? If other shuls that never make osafas, the people are going to go up in arms if you start making osafas. But meikra dinya yaitse kris hatar b'diyevet, even with the apostle of the Sefer Torah. That's the psach of the Shulchan Aruch. Somebody told me that they were once in Tzfat for a Shabbos, and there was a mistake in the Sefer Torah, and they put the Sefer Torah away, they got another one, and the rabbi announced, we have to start laning from the beginning of the Pasha. So I thought that was very humorous, because Tzfat was the place where the Bar Berav lived. He was the rabbi in Tzfat 500 years ago, and his Talmud, the Shulchan Aruch, was the next rabbi in Tzfat. So in the middle of the holy city of Tzfat, you're going to start to do against what the Rabban of Tzfat said in the 1500s. I thought that was very bizarre. People think, have a very misunderstanding of what Tzfat is. People think Tzfat is a place of nuts. They think that people are just running around and coming out of Kvarim and jumping out of mikvahs. They don't realize that there was some unbelievably great, the greatest of the great Tamil Chachamim lived in Tzfat. The Shulchan Aruch, Moshe Alshech, Moshe Kutavira, Ari HaKadosh. They were people who sat and learned regular Torah. After they finished Kol HaTorah, Kul regular Torah, then they read Zoyas, then they read the Rikamal, then they wrote Kisviari, then they did all kind of the other stuff. But they were people who were steeped in Kalat Arakula, in the world of Nigla. The Shulchan Aruch was unbelievable. He was one of the greatest Mekubalim of the generation, but he also wrote the Beis Yosef, also wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He was a regular rabbi also. That was an addition to being a regular rabbi. The problem is a lot of people come to Tzfat and they forgot all the Shulchan Aruch part. They forgot all the regular stuff. They just go for the hocus pocus stuff. So that's silly. That's not really what Tzfat was. So that's what some poskim write, that if you're in a Shabbaton somewhere, there's only one Sefer Torah and it's fossil, so maybe you should lay with it. Maybe that's called B'diyevet. That's a machlekes of poskim. Maybe that's called B'diyevet. Sometimes NCSY has to make like that. Maybe. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So we follow this view. Although the Vilna Gaon Taka disagreed, the Vilna Gaon says, no, you don't follow this Rambam. We should follow Rov HaRishonim. We should Taka lane over again. But the Minhag Yisrael in most places is that we rely on the evidence if we laned up until that point. But the whole reason for this Kula was predicated on the assumption that the parish is only with the Rabbanan, and Kriyas HaTorah is only with the Rabbanan. So the Gabi didn't with the Rabbanan, we can rely on Apostle Sefer Torah. So now the question becomes, how does that play out vis-a-vis certain parishios that are diaraisa? So let's say the Moshe Pasha Zohar. Imagine you start laying Pasha Zohar, you say Zohar, and then you realize there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So you have to put it away and take out another Sefer Torah. So you're not going to go back and start from the beginning. That would be so silly. First of all, it's not such a tichat to you. But second of all, that would be inappropriate, because Pasha Zohar b'choshesh is a diaraisa. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, from Tosfos, from the Rosh, that Pasha Zohar is a diaraisa. Not everyone agrees to that. The Rambam holds that Kriyas Pasha Zohar is not a diaraisa. The Rambam says, talking about a Moloch is a diaraisa. So right now, we're talking about a Moloch. We've been Yotzei, Zechiris HaMoloch. But Taizah in the Rosh, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion that you need a Sefer Torah, maybe you need a minyan, has to be a real Kriyas HaTorah to fulfill the mitzvah D'Oraisa. So that would be absurd if you're in the middle of Leini Parshas Zohar to put away the Sefer Torah and take out another one and start from the middle. He said, we only rely on that Rambam when it's only a Derabban anyway, it's a Shas al Chach, it's only a Derabban, but whenever there's a Kriyas Torah D'Oraisa, we would never rely on that Rambam. So now the Shas becomes, what about Parshas Parah? Is Parshas Parah a mitzvah D'Oraisa? Is Parshas Parah not a mitzvah D'Oraisa? So those who pay careful attention to the directions and instructions of the rabbi, this one wasn't on the back of the paper, but I always try to announce as follows. When it comes to Parshas Zachar, so I always announce, everyone should have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah D'Oraisa of Parshas Zachar. When it comes to Parshas Parah, so I rephrase the announcement a little bit. I say, according to the view of the Shulchan Aruch, there are those who say that Parshas Parah is D'Oraisa, because that's a big, big machlokes. Parshas Parah, so a group of Rishonim, a Tosfos, a Ritva, there are a few Rishonim here, and they will say that Parshas Parah is a D'Oraisa. If that's true, that Parshas Parah is a D'Oraisa, so then the same way we said that for Parshas Zohar, we wouldn't start in the middle with the Seder Sefer Torah. We'd start, go back to the beginning for D'Oraisa. We don't want to take any chances. We want the Sefer Torah to be kosher, according to all opinions. So the same would be true for Parshas Parah. We should have to start all over again. But that's a million-dollar question. Is that really true? Is Parshas Parah D'Oraisa or not? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes such an opinion that the reading of Parshas Parah is a D'Oraisa, and all the Acharonim raise a question. They don't know where this comes from. The Magen Avraham throws his hands up and says, "Menoha Milsa." He says, "Vishtei Parshas Parah D'Oraisa." Parshas Zohar, I understand. It says Zohar Shiras Cholamolek. Zechira means Dibur Bikriya, Bitacha Sefer. I can give you a whole Chagadja as to why Parshas Zohar is D'Oraisa. But where in the world does the Torah ever say a word about the reading of Parshas Parah? So what kind of chumra is this? Where in the world did this come from? The Parshas Parah is the D'Oraisa. It's interesting, the Poskim write that even if Parshas Parah is D'Oraisa, it's probably only for men, it's not for women. That's where we don't find a new chumra, the Shabbos, all the women, a second Kriyas Parshas Parah, all the women who missed Parshas Parah the first time should come back. Off the record, you know, again, we should continue what Aaron Hugman and Akihila are, but this whole notion of a second Parshas Zohar, that all the women come, we have to have a whole to do, this is a very, very new practice in Klal Yisrael. I had to go ask your grandmothers whether they ever heard of coming for Parshas Zohar if the davening is over. It was not Dominican in Europe. It came in American Minnick. It's based on something. It's based on those poskim who say that women are chayavos in Parshas Zohar. I'm not minimizing. We do it here also. But if once in a while a woman misses Parshas Zohar, she shouldn't feel so bad that her great-grandmother also missed Parshas Zohar. That in Europe, they used to baskin that women are tourists from Parshas Zohar. Rebbe Moshe didn't hold the word. Moshe held women achayavos in Parshas Zohar. Mechaschina held women achayavos. There were gedolei achronim who held that way, and that created the background for this minhag. But this is a new minhag. Not only it was not in Europe. I don't even remember as a kid. Do you remember this as a kid? No, I never remember such a thing as a kid. First of all, where were the women going to come? There was no Erev. When I grew up, there was no Erev. So where are the women going to come? They're going to leave the kids. What? The husbands were going to come out and come an hour and a half later? The whole thing didn't make any sense. So this was, again, it's a nice thing. So that's why we do it in our shul. It makes sense, according to those machmirim. But again, it's in terms of Minhag Yisrael, it's a fairly new one. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Parshas Parah, is Parshas Parah D'Oraisa? I said, where we state the Parshas Parah? What is the Shulchan Aruch? What is Tais? What does the Ritva mean? The Parshas Parah is a D'Oraisa. So the Acharonim are looking high and low to try to find some kind of a suas. The Parshas Parah is a D'Oraisa. So there are a group of Acharonim, the Meshech Chochma and others, who found it. They claim that they found it. They discovered America. They discovered what the suas is of Parshas Parah D'Oraisa. But it doesn't even start with Parshas Parah. It starts with Parshas Tetzave and Parshas Tzav. I'm definitely hoping this is Parshas Tzav. There's, at the time of the Miluim, which is the next Inyan Adiyoma, that's the next week, the last 7 days of Chodesh Adar are the days of the Miluim, when they dedicated the Mishkan. So the Miluim, the Parshas Miluim appears in two places. It appears in Parshas Tzav, which we just read, where the Bashram tells Moshe what to do during the 7 days of the Miluim. And then in Parshas Tzav, the second half of Parshas Tzav tells us what they actually did, how they followed the Tzivuyim back from Parshas Tzav. So for the week of the Miluim, so the Psukim describe all the different Karbanos that were brought, and then the Psukim also say that Moshe told them all everything. He was explaining to them during the Miluim, he's telling them exactly what they have to do. So the Gemara in Maseches Yuma says that not only did they have to go through the Karbanos, but there was a special din that they had to read about the Karbanos. There was a special Kriyas HaTorah that took place during the week of the Miluim. That's what it says, Vedav Moshe, whatever it says, Moshe told over to them. So he took out the Sefer Torah, and then whether the Sefer Torah wasn't complete yet, the Sefer Torah, because it wasn't the parshas that hadn't even happened yet, but whatever it was, Moshe Rabbeinu read to them. He read to them whatever they had to do, and there was like a quasi like a Kriyas HaTorah that accompanied the Avodas HaMiluim. So the Gemara in Maseches Yuma tells us that even though the Miluim was a one-time thing, one time in history they were Mechanech, the Mishkan, and they had a whole week of the Miluim, Starach of Gibel Adar, the last 7 days of Chodesh Adar, they had a Miluim. But there are two times throughout history where we mimic what happened during the Miluim. What do we mimic? We don't bring the same Karbanos, but there was something that happened during the week of the Miluim that they were Mafrish in the Kohen Gadol. Aaron and his sons left the rest of Klal Yisrael. They had to hang out in the base of Mikdash in the Mishkan the whole week. It says the Farish, we Pesach Omolo Seitzu Shivas Yom and Pentamusu, that Aaron and his sons had to be mamash locked up for a week in the Mishkan. That's a dinner of Prishas HaKohanim prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that din of Prishas HaKohanim applies two other times in the course of history, because it says Kasher Asaba Yom Azeh Tziva Hashem Lasos Lechaper Aleichem. So what does that mean? Kasher Asaba Yom Azeh, the same way that for the week of the Miluim there are 7 days where the Aaron and the sons stay away from the rest of the people, Kain Tziva Hashem Lasos Lechaper Aleichem, this din is going to apply with Deiris under two circumstances. Lasos Lechaper, what does Lasos Lechaper mean? So Lechaper is easy. Kapara is Kapara's Yom Kippurim. The same way there's a din that during the week of the Miluim, Mafrishin as a Kohanim, so too the first mission Yuma says, Shivas Yom Karim Yom Kippur Mafrishin Kohen Gadol. That a week before Yom Kippur, you have to separate the Kohen Gadol. He has to stay locked up in the base of Mikdash, and that's a din deraisa. And according to one day in the Gemara Maseches Yuma, that's learned out from these psukim. The Shivas Yom of Yomei Aprishas Kohen Gadol are learned out from the Miluim. And what does Lasos mean? Lasos Tachaper. Lasos and Maisa Parah. That means every once in a while when they would burn a Paraduma, when they would prepare a Paraduma, so the Kohen Aserf is a Parah had to prepare for a week before. It wasn't, you know, just a walk in one day and say, okay, I'm here for business, what do I do today? Oh, well, today your job is to burn a Paraduma. It doesn't happen like that. You gotta, it's not even the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen who was Aserf is a Parah. So you have to wait mamish for a whole week. You have to be set aside and designated and get yourself Tavin Seh Tehillim, and Hini Mucham Zumans become Tar, mamish, get yourself all ready to roll for a whole week before the dinner prisha. Sometimes we get the impression that they were burning paradumas every other week in the base of Mikdash. The Gemara says they were all of 9 paradumas throughout the entire history. Hakol Mikol Kol, all of 9 paradumas. So every time they did a paraduma, so you ever see a cow? Cow's very, very big. You collect its ashes. I mean, when I was a little kid, the first time I looked at a paraduma, so I thought that every time someone becomes patame, he comes to the base of Mikdash, and they prepare him a special his own paraduma. So every a lot of cows, we deplete all the beef in Klal Yisrael. Every time you're shechting cows with paradumas and burning it, that would be ridiculous. So I got a little bit, and I could never understood how come. And I also learned that they only did it 9 times. What happened to everybody else? And then I realized, I got a little bit older, I realized that they did it once, and it lasted for hundreds, and the ashes lasted for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. The rest of the whole Bais Rishon was all of one paraduma, and then Bais Sheni somehow they lost a lot of the ashes. They did it last as well. The Gemara says in Maseches Nida that they had ashes left from the last paraduma that was prepared before the Churban. It lasted for hundreds of years, and they were still being retired themselves. They were the Kohanim who wanted to eat Truma B'Tahara, still had access to the ashes. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash to throw ashes on you. You need a Beis HaMikdash to shech the par, because the par has to be shecht in Zukis Adam, in the direction of the Mikdash. So you need a Beis HaMikdash to prepare a paraduma. But once it was prepared, then you could use it for hundreds and hundreds of years. So Gemara says, into the days of the Amoraim, into the years 200, 150 years after the Churban, they still had some people in Golil. The Gemara says, still had some cases of it comes very expensive, comes a collector's item. They were still using it. Eventually they ran out. Now we haven't had another paraduma since then. Every few years there's always something new about. Someone comes up with this grandiose plan of paraduma. This has been going on for hundreds of years. This way everyone comes up with a new idea. So recently, the more modern idea is some guy's running around trying to genetically engineer paraduma. So he's patching around with genes to try to get the DNA to create a perfect paraduma. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out what the muskan is. Some of the geneticists in town are trying to figure out what in the world he's talking about and figure out whether it's going to work or not. We'll see. We'll keep you posted. Any news on it, we'll keep you posted. Okay. Anyway, check it on Yeshiva World and stuff. Look up paraduma.com. All right, anyway. So the Gemara says that when they prepared the paraduma, they had to be mafrish the kayin as a surface of par as well. That was a din deraisa derived from the miluim. So you see that we compare Yom Kippurim and we compare the paraduma to the meha miluim. So there's another comparison between the two. But we find that on Yom Kippur, there was a special laning on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol would have a special Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur. A special Kriyas HaTorah with a special brachas, a whole Gantz Megillah. They would read Pashas Achrimos with the Kohen Gadol.
So where did that come from? That's just a regular din of Kriyas HaTorah? So no, the Pasha says that's more than just a regular Kriyas HaTorah. Regular Kriyas HaTorah is probably the Rabbanan. The Kriyas HaTorah of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is a din d'oraisa. Why is that? Because it's learned out from the Miluim. Just as by the Miluim, there was a special din that Moshe had to not just bring the Karbanos, but he had to describe the Karbanos, he had to read to them Klaifa what they were doing, so you have to talk about the Karbanos as well. So that din d'oraisa of Kriyas HaTorah for the Miluim carries over to Yom Kippur. That's why the Kriyas HaTorah that we do on Yom Kippur morning is different than a regular Yontif Kriya. It's not much to mimic the Kriyas Kohen Gadol. It's a real thing. It's the real McCoy. It's a Kriyas HaTorah, perhaps even on the level of d'oraisa, as Mancha Bissavik the Shekhaya. So it says, because the Gemara says, "Kasha asa b'yom hazeh tziva Hashem lasos l'chaper aleichem." So the Toshma Peh says, "L'chaper refers to Yom Kippur, and lasos refers to Ma'aseh Para." And the Gemara says, "Beferish, that's why we mafrish the Kohen Gadol 7 days, like the Miluim." So we even say that in the Avodah in Yom Kippur, we say "L'hafrish Kohen Gadol kedasa Miluim." We say that phrase. Anyone paying attention to Mitzkoch? I guess no one's awake by that time. But anyone who says that to Kanan does not hold responsible. I don't know what it says in the Sukhspar. But now it's Koch and Zachash, as it says, Mafrishin or so, Kedasa Miluim. So we make a point of saying that when Mafrish is going on like the Miluim. So the Kriyas, according to the Meshach Chochma, it comes out, everything is looking like the Miluim. So just as when Mafrish is going Godel Minat Torah for Yom Kippur and for the Parah, so too we have a Kriyas Torah Midir Aisa for Yom Kippur and for the Parah. Duma says the Meshach Chochma, that's the Kriyas Torah of Pashas Parah. The only problem is that's true Bizman when they serve the Parah. It means if when you happen to be that once in a blue moon every couple hundred years when he's doing the Shreifa Zapara, so you have to read Pashas Chukas. We're not burning a paraduma in Bergenfield this Shabbos, not that we know of. So how does that become a deraisa? So it's not really a deraisa. The Rishon never really meant it's really a deraisa. It meant that the Zman HaParah was a deraisa. The Zman HaZeh, it's a Kain, it's a Zeicha to the deraisa. So it's a higher level of Kriyas HaTorah. Regular Kriyas HaTorah is just a plain derabanan. This is a derabanan that's supposed to remind us of a deraisa. So they threw all the chumras at us in terms of this Kriyas HaTorah. So according to the Ishtikul Torah, we come out that that's the same is true for Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur. The same thing. If you would find a mistake in the Kriyas HaTorah of Yom Kippur, you would have to start all over again from the beginning of the Parsha, because that's a higher level of Kriyas HaTorah. It's not just a regular Yontif Tikkun Kriya. That's a highly questionable thing. We never heard of such a thing. So anyway, so these are some of the things that were tumbling in Yeshivas around Yitzchak Chanan 25 years ago on a Shabbos morning about whether that was the correct Pesach or not. So if I'm not mistaken, in the Beis Medrash, the Pesach that was given was, they just took out another Sefer Torah and they continued to lay where they left off. So some of the boys were very upset about it. I don't remember whether we made another Kriya in the side room afterwards to fulfill Los Escobedo in the full sense of the word. I don't remember what happened in that part, but I remember there was I remember Rabbi Simon was walking around in total perplexed and saying that, but said, Daraisa. Except the Rebbe Savlovsky, it's a deraisa. So that, what's going on? What happened to Beis Medrash? Isn't a deraisa? So we're very litvish in our yeshiva. We follow the Gra. The Gra said that the whole Pashas Parah is only the Rabbani. So the whole thing is not true. The Shulchan Aruch is not right. The whole thing is the Rabbani. But according to the Machmirim, that it's a deraisa. So Tacha would have made a lot of sense to go back. So anyway, so yesh v'yesh. So that, at least that was the deal. That those who wanted to argue that it's good enough just to continue where you left off, because they were treating Pashas Parah as a regular Kriyas HaTorah, those who were saying that it's a chashash of a deraisa would insist that you would have to start back again to the beginning of the Pasha. So we're not as the chash of an yeshiva as what happened in Magencia. Magencia was one of the big cities in Germany, where probably 90% of us are descendants from. There were three main cities in Germany in the 1000s. There were the Kilo Shum. One was Spires, one was Vermais, and one was Magencia. So those were the 99% of Ashkenazic Jewry hailed from those towns. It was eventually the Jews who were thrown out of Germany as things got worse in Germany over the years. The Middle Ages moved towards Poland and Eastern Europe and Russia. So Rubu the Ashkenazim probably find themselves, and it was less named Shapiro probably at one point, had some kind of ancestors at some, and the Shapiro's around here. So that's the name Ashpire came from. So the Rush in Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes that one year in Rosh Hashanah, a big fight broke out in town in the city of Magencia, Maisib in Magencia. This goes back before the days of Rashi, it seems to be. This is an old story, that there was a big fight because the Baltakeh made a mistake in the Tekiah Shofar, that he blew two shvarms, and then he made a mistake, and he started to blow a truah before he blew the third shever. So there was a homachlokes, how far he has to go back to. Can you just continue from that point? You have to go back to the beginning of the Tekiah, go back to the Seder beforehand. So there were three different shitas. Everyone was screaming and yelling, and all the Rabban, all the Gedaliel, all the great Chachmei Ashkenaz all lived in these towns. Remember, all these towns were never through the people were killed during the Crusades. That's what we say, the Crusades for those three cities of Germany. So the Rabbanim were fighting it out. So half the Rabbanim said it one way, half the Rabbanim said it the other way. So Baruch Hashem, you know, the Messiah that we have is that whenever the mistakes happen, there's always a fight what to do. So half the people say continue where you left off, half the people say go back to the beginning. So it wasn't exactly the same Shaila, but Baruch Shekivanu, that the same way that our ancestors were screaming during Tekiah Shefras, and why you were screaming during Pashas Par also. So we're still not sure what the din is. But whatever, hopefully this year Pashas Par, everything will go as smooth as we can. But hopefully we're going to have Pashas Par there, Isa, maybe Banam Mikdash, if someone can figure out how to genetically engineer a cow between now and Shabbos, so we can get a real Christa or Derisa. Okay. Wish everyone a good day. We should have a productive day getting ready for Pesach. Or whatever else you do.